typical murderers. Some plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
I'm eternal, child. I am the eater of tears.
It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every year.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I'm your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight are co-anchors Kent Mullins.
Hey, guys.
And Jesse Gilbert.
What's up, guys?
Now, it's a ways off from now, actually October 19th, 2018, to be exact. And many of you are already aware that there is another Halloween in the works, and the man himself, Mr. John Carpenter, is on board, along with Jamie Lee Curtis coming back as Laurie Strode, and Nick Castle as Michael Myers, a.k.a. The Shape, which we will definitely be talking about later for the internet haters out there. But Halloween is in my top three favorite horror film franchises, so needless to say, I'm pretty stoked about this film. Now, initially, when I first heard Danny McBride was co-writing, I was like, I was a little intrigued, if not a bit worried, since he's not really known for his work in horror, but he's a great storyteller. And after I heard he was actually a fan, that definitely helped. And of course, the seal of approval from John Carpenter certainly made it okay with me. So for tonight's show, we will basically just be chopping it up about what we know so far and the general buzz around social media that we'll get to in a little bit. So Kent, I know that you're not a big Michael Myers fan, which is totally cool. I respect that. But as an artist and a fellow horror fan in general, what crossed your mind when you first heard that this had a green light after the Halloween 3D idea was put to rest? What were your first thoughts when you heard this was going to be for real?
Well, I was most excited about the fact that it's a direct sequel to the first one, which I thought was interesting. And they're completely pretending like, you know, anything after part one doesn't exist, apparently. Going back to, you were talking about Danny McBride. This is an interesting fact. I listened to a lot of podcasts and I believe he was on the Nerdist. And Danny McBride originally got into acting to pursue a more serious film career, and with emphasis on horror. That's what he's always been into. That's what he always wanted to be a part of. And that's essentially how he ended up where he's at. He just ended up having a knack for comedy. And he's been trying to get into this area of filmmaking for a while now. But I'm sorry I got on a tangent there. But it's not that as far as Halloween itself goes, I understand how people can love the franchise. I see its appeal. It's not for me. That being said, I am excited about having a new sequel to the original. And you know, all these pictures are being released now and everything looks awesome. And I guess we'll get to that in a minute though.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that about Danny, because I really didn't know that. I obviously, if you look on IMDb or you just know what he's done in the past, it's been mostly comedy related, which is fine. That doesn't mean that he's not capable of doing something great in the horror genre. So, but he is a great storyteller, and I didn't know that he was a big Halloween fan either. So I think it was either their first or second script that John was like green light. So it, you know, they got some good shit if John Carpenter was like, yeah, let's do it. So I'm totally fine with that. I'm anxious to see what he can actually do different from what we're used to seeing from him, because I think he does great work. So I'm really looking forward to it. And Jesse, what did you think when you first heard it was a go?
A little divided. Like you were talking about Danny McBride, I love him as a writer and a comedian, you know, comic actor. He cracks me up. When I first heard that he was wanting to go serious, I was a little skeptical. Now, there's been a lot of great, you know, comedy to horror transitions over the years. I mean, look, most recently, Get Out, Jordan Peele. You know, he was a comedy writer, a comedy actor. So that sort of lends credence to this a little bit. But I mean, my one hang up with this, and it's my only real hang up, is that they are ignoring the original part two, and this is going to be the new part two. That worries me a little bit. I absolutely love the original part two. So, but yeah, I mean, all the returning people. I love Nick Castle. I met him a few times myself. Great guy. Happy he's back. I absolutely love Jamie Lee Curtis and everything she does. So to see her come back is fantastic. But overall, like I said, I'm just a little worried about them ignoring part two and basically this being, you know, a kind of a remake of part two.
Yeah, I can see that concern. But if you look at the direct content of H2, the original H2, I can see how they can ignore that. And it really wouldn't make a whole ton of difference because it really is a pretty direct film. I mean, they're in the hospital, you know, so that doesn't really concern me. I mean, you look at who's participating, obviously John Carpenter, Jamie Lee. I agree with you. Love Jamie Lee. So if she's participating, you know, they had a hell of a script, you know, all the right people are on board because she's not just going to just do it just because she's done all the other films in the past. I mean, it had to have been obviously worth her while and something that she wanted to do, that she's not starving for work by any means, but I certainly can understand that. But yeah, I mean, I kind of wish they would have not ignored two just because it was a great film, but I'm with you on that.
And what you said about Jamie Lee Curtis is right, because, you know, they offer her to come back to do the cameo for Prom Night, which is another one of her, you know, origin stories pretty much. And she turned that one down. So
I do believe, honestly, that between having Danny as a writer and bringing Carpenter back, Jamie Lee Curtis and Nick Castle, even as a person that's not that big of a Halloween fan, this is still really, really fucking exciting. I am excited to see this movie just because of, you know, the concoction that they have here, the all original concoction, and they've all aged and they've all got some even more experience under their belt. And I'm sure that they can make something better even than the original.
The original is going to be hard to beat, obviously, but I'm right there with you, and I agree. They've seasoned over the years and should be able to make something just as great. I mean, maybe it will be better. I mean, who's to say it? That's all going to be a matter of opinion, but I'm certainly right there with you on that. Speaking of Nick Castle, I've met him myself numerous times over the years, and as of today, as of this recording, there's been nothing all day but just Halloween behind the scenes photos, you know, one horror website after the other, one Facebook post, people and share. So I've seen the same sets of photos that all you guys have been seeing all day repeatedly. And let's just point out, all right, Kent, we're just going to get it over with now. Okay.
So yeah.
You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
You know, come on, people. I mean, there's a photo of Nick Castle, and people are bagging on how big he looks. If you know Nick Castle, if you've seen him, you know he's not a big guy. This fucking photo is like 400 feet away. It might as well have been taken from a satellite. I mean, come on. You zoom in and you see him, and he doesn't really look big. I mean, and who knows? He could be standing next to a guy that's 5'5". I mean, who knows? So
there's
like
4 pixels.
Exactly. I mean, come on. I mean, get a life, people. If you're complaining already, then you need to get with it. I'm sorry.
And the people are already they're already guessing like what style mask they're going with. Oh, it looks like they're going with the original, or maybe that's like, dude, fuck off. Like,
yeah, pretty much. Fuck off, clowns. That's what we have to say. Fuck off, internet clowns.
I mean, no matter what mask they use, it's still going to be Captain Kirk.
Yeah. I mean, you know they're not going to stray that far from what the original H1 mask was if this is a direct sequel. I mean, John Carpenter's involved, for fuck's sakes. So, I mean, come on. They're not going to deviate that far off. It's the same. Nick Castle hasn't changed that much in size since the original movie was filmed. Yeah, he might have gained a few pounds over the years, but he's not some big overweight guy that's not anywhere near of the stature that he was or the way he carried himself then. So you're pretty much going to see it the same. Anybody that says, well, look how big he is or whatever, you're just, you know, whatever. You obviously don't even know what you're talking about.
I think it's going to be interesting seeing, because obviously this film is taking place in modern day and it's now, you know, 50 years after the original. It's going to be interesting seeing, and because they're not even dodging it, they're not even trying to hide it. It's going to be an elderly Michael Myers, and I think that's going to be really cool. It's going to be something really different. He's not young. He's not agile anymore, at least from what I can tell, and that's the only reason I can think of that they would go with Nick Castle. So I think that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you said that, because here's a great point. In one of the articles I read, I can't remember the website, or I'd give you a shout out, but Michael would obviously be like in his 60s now. Nick Castle, I believe, is 70 on the nose. So I think it works out perfect. So if you're going to portray him in modern day time, then that's the exact idea and route to go, is have the original guy play him if you can. And he's alive and well and able to do it. So I say two thumbs up.
Maybe he'll get rid of the knife, and now his weapon of choice is a walker.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, throw a can of, maybe he'll be throwing bottles of Metamucil at him or something. Who knows?
Another interesting thing to note about this, though, is John Carpenter has released, this is the last time, or the one and only return ever for him, his involvement in the Halloween franchise.
Yeah, I mean, having John Carpenter on board, regardless if he's directing or not, for him to be EP on it, that's huge, because they're going to him for everything, and he's going to do the score again. You know, we'll talk about that next. I mean, there's, to my understanding, as of right now, they're looking at it doing a new version, or possibly, I guess you would call it, amplifying the original version, or doing a combination of the two. So I'm really excited to hear what the score is going to be. I don't know about you guys, but like, that's the first thing that I kind of thought about was, man, I wonder what they're going to do for the score if Carpenter's going to do it.
I'm super excited about that. The basic score of the original Halloween was actually the first thing I ever learned how to play on guitar. And I don't care if it's original. I don't care if it's like a slight remix version. I just need some Carpenter in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's classic. And with John Carpenter involved once again, I mean, you know, they're going to bring their A game with it.
Like I said, you know, I know I said in the beginning, I'm not the biggest Halloween fan. That being said, Halloween has the original, in my opinion, possibly the best score for a horror film that has ever been made, ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the most iconic. When you hear that music, pretty much everybody knows what that is, or they know it's something from like an 80s movie or whatever. I mean, hell, if I played it for my mom, she might be like, "Eh, it sounds familiar," but might not be able to tell you that it's what it's from exactly, but they've heard it before. Obviously, you know, the Friday the 13th, Jaws. I mean, there's a lot of iconic, I guess, sounds for when characters are going to show up and kick your ass, but Halloween is definitely top notch, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure the score is going to be kick ass. But one thing, you know, people have been talking about is the filming location, and it being in Charleston, South Carolina. People are like, you know, why in the hell are they filming there? Blah, blah, blah. And I really haven't done enough reading to know why they chose that particular area to film in. I don't know if you guys have some insight on that. I didn't do my homework prior to, I guess I could have Googled it and seen, but do you guys know why they picked that particular area to film?
It's actually all based on tax breaks. The only other state in competition was actually Ohio for the production, but they got a slightly better break in South Carolina.
Oh, okay. So just tax-based related. Well, I can understand that. And I don't know if you guys noticed the name of the school or not, but they threw back to part four on that. I'm sure you guys probably picked up on it. Maybe not Kent, but Jesse, I'm sure you probably did.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a nice nod. And one thing that I got to thinking about earlier before we're here now is I was reading articles a while back on Danielle Harris wanting to come back, and then thinking of you know, her age, and then of course Jamie Lee Curtis, and if they're going to put it in present time, she would be around. She could technically be, I guess, Jamie's daughter if you look at it like that. So it's like, God damn it, why didn't you bring back Danielle Harris if that were the case? I don't know what the age is of the actress that's gonna portray the daughter. I haven't really looked up much information about her, but I think it would have been super cool if they could have brought her back.
I would have loved that. You know, I was close to her age when those movies were coming out, or at least, you know, a little bit younger than her character was in the movies. So like, in a way, as far as Halloween goes, I kind of feel like I almost grew up with her. It would have been nice to have that return.
Oh yeah, definitely. And as a, I guess as a throwback to the series or a nod, I don't know what the correct term would be. Yeah, we got to see her and RZ's Halloweens. I just thought it would have been super cool if this is really truly going to be the final Halloween, like it's rumored to be. I think she would have been a great character to use and a good final send off. But we don't get to make the decision, so you know, whatever.
I'm just so happy that we're getting John Carpenter's Halloween and not Rob Zombie's white trash inbred hillbilly backwoods Jerry Springer Halloween.
That's a good way to put it. But we're not going to make this about Rob Zombie's film. We can actually talk about those down the road if you guys want, and you can throw all the daggers you want. But I definitely get what you're saying, and I'm glad that John Carpenter wanted to bring it back to what made it the classic that it is. And there's things that I did and didn't like about Rob Zombie's Halloween, and you know, we can talk about those later. But you know that Carpenter is going to take it back to where it needed to be, because it was starting to get a little far-fetched with the white horses and shit. I'm just going to leave it at that. So I'm glad to see that they're taking the classic approach, and it's not going to be some fucking gore fest. So like I said, I think it's just going to be done. It's going to be a perfect film, if you will. I think all the right people are involved.
And with those pictures, man, that they've released, you can tell that they've put so much effort and work into capturing that original feel of the, you know, innocent Haddonfield with the decor and everything. It feels like Halloween already just through the pictures. Just looks like an innocent town. And that was one of the biggest parts of the original, in my opinion.
You know, another thing to note is Danny McBride has already said that if this, you know, performs as well as they hope, they would like to use this jumping point to continue the Halloween franchise. The good thing about that is, out of all the horror series, you know, Halloween is one of the most broken. 1 and 2 are a thing. 3 doesn't make a lot of sense until part 6. 4 and 5, their own kind of thing. Like, so they jump around a lot with different storylines within the Halloween universe. So this would kind of like go back, like we said earlier, kind of, you know, redo 2 in its own way, and then maybe extend the franchise with one solid overall, like, overarching storyline.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I agree with that. And like I said, I think with what you just said, that this film will be the perfect one in line to kind of, yeah, we're going to ignore some things. And that excites me too, because there's some things, obviously, like in 5 and 6, I mean, you know, 1 and 2 are my favorites. You know, I like 4 also. 5 and 6, there's some things in there that, you know, we can talk about that later if you want to cover the Halloweens. But, you know, like I said, I think the right people are involved, and I think this is going to be just a masterpiece for the true Halloween fans out there that appreciate all the films. And I think for those that are not as versed as some as to the fine details of the franchise, I think they're going to, if they're just a general horror fan, but not a huge Halloween fan, they're going to be able to sit down and watch it and be like, oh, okay, cool. You know, kind of like Halloween H2O. That was a great film. If you didn't know much about the Halloween franchise, you can sit down and watch that film and kind of be up to speed. So I think they're going to kind of capture the way that they captured the audience in H2O with not long into the film, you're going to be right where you need to be if you're not that educated.
As far as I'm concerned, in terms of the originals, the only ones that exist are 1, 2, and I personally really liked 3, even though, you know, it wasn't even a Michael Myers movie. But whenever they started bringing like these Illuminati-esque characters into it, I just checked out, man. That was too much for me.
Yeah. And another thing to backtrack a little bit, Kent, you mentioned the decor and the layout and everything of the filming location. And you're right, the houses that they're using, the area, it does have kind of the look that you would expect to see from a film like this. So it looks like they got a really good area for that. But I got to be kind of a little bit of a stickler, because everybody, you know, everybody wants to talk about the police nowadays and this, that, and the other. But the one thing that I noticed was the squad cars, of course. What the fuck kind of blue and white combination? Where have you ever seen a squad car that was half blue and half white? We're not in Europe. We're not in London. I mean, the squad cars look absolutely nothing like you would expect to see. I think it's funny that they use Warren County. So in Illinois, okay, I'm from Illinois, and there is a Warren County in Illinois. So I'm just curious as to why some of these set designers and the people responsible for the layouts of, let's say, the squad cars, hypothetically, you could just get online and probably Google and look at the squad car and maybe try to mimic the design, or at least just get rid of this stupid blue and white. I mean, seriously, have you guys ever seen a squad car that was half blue and half white in the United States?
And it's such a weird shade of blue, too.
It's like North Carolina blue.
Yeah. Yeah. It just screams Tar Heels.
Yeah. I mean, I was just shocked because that's one of the first behind the scenes photos I seen was a Charleston actual black and white squad car. And then I was scrolling through and I'm like, what in the hell is this Tar Heel blue? Like, what is this, a nod to the Carolinas or something that I don't know about? But I've been to North Carolina. I've been to South Carolina. I've never seen blue and white squad cars like that are half Carolina blue and half white. I don't know what the hell they were thinking. And maybe I'm just being a stickler, but I just think it's kind of funny.
Now, is it possible that those particular squad cars are for like maybe a college campus or something like that? And just, you know, some part of the movie that maybe we don't know is going to happen yet. Because I do see a lot of oddly colored cars that look like squad cars for a lot of the local campuses here in town.
Yeah, yeah. I've noticed in college campuses, they usually, they kind of tend to be a little bit more colorful, if you will. And you certainly could be right. They could be lent from something else. I don't know. But being that this is a major studio production, I'm just curious. I know it sounds it sounds minor, but when I saw it, I'm just like, what in the hell is this? Like, what sheriff's department car? Because you guys have done enough driving. You've been around the block enough that most sheriff's office cars, except for Florida, whatever, but most of them are brown or black and white, you know, whatever. They're the traditional squad car colors. Florida has a lot of green and yellow, whatever. But I don't know. Like I said, I've been in North Carolina and South Carolina, spent some time there and never seen any of the sheriff's office cars look anything like this. So it just really like threw me through a loop. I'm like, what in the hell are they thinking? So anyways, rant over on that. I was just curious what you guys thought.
Now let's hope they don't repeat the mistake from the original Halloween where they use all the wrong license plates on all the vehicles for the entire movie. It still surprises me that made it through the cutting floor when that movie was released.
Well, and I will tell you this, just a little small detail, looking at the squad cars, I did look at the license plate, and they actually have mimicked what the police in Illinois, what the license plates look like, the municipal police plates. I know it's a stupid small detail, but they actually did get that right. But I just don't understand what the hell they're doing with the color of the cars. But I mean, nowadays, if you're trying to depict a film that's sitting in Illinois or set in Illinois, and you don't necessarily know exactly where it's at, but if you're going to put it in, say, Warren County, maybe Google and see what the Warren County cars look like. I mean, there's no law preventing them from mimicking a color scheme or something, because there are going to be geeks out there, nerds out there like me. They're going to be like, what the fuck is up with this? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, shit, you guys are, well, you're closer to the Carolinas than I am, but I mean, do you see any of that shit in the areas that you live that looks like that? No.
I lived in North Carolina for 5 years.
Perfect.
I never saw a single police car that was in that weird ass shade of blue in my entire life, or not only that, but that design scheme.
It's really strange looking. It's like I could understand if it was some common thing, but it just really threw me off. And I mean, here we are spending, I don't know how many minutes talking about the fucking squad cars in the film, but I mean, when you're a true fan, you notice stuff like that. And even, look at Rob Zombie's. I mean, at least he didn't do something outlandish like that. I mean, the sheriff's car looked like a typical, you know, rural or, you know, small town USA area sheriff's car. The uniforms were traditional colors and so on and so forth. But so I'm kind of anxious to see what they do with the uniforms if the squad car design looks that retarded.
One of the things that I'm most anxious about is to see if they revisit any old locations from the original. Now, I know they're shooting in a different location, but I have an affinity for the elementary school in the original. I really like that scene where Michael's standing at the fence there. watching, and I know that that elementary school now, that that open area, that that kind of quad, that grassy quad, is now cement, and it's got picnic tables and stuff. So it'd be really easy for them to recreate that, maybe just as a nod to the original. But I would like to see them revisit some of the old sets from the original, just to see what they look like nowadays and all that.
Yeah, I've been curious about that too, as if we'll see any still shots or any type of video from any of the iconic original locations. For example, in Pasadena, South Pasadena, where the original houses sit, and for example, the famous hedgerow, that's still there, as you guys, I'm sure, are well aware. That's still there. So I'm kind of curious if we're going to see them try to pan and use any shots or angles of some of the original iconic shots to make you think that you're still in that neighborhood, but then of course use the houses that they're using in South Carolina.
Another question that I have that well, it's no doubt that it'll get answered, but I'm curious as to how they're going to explain Michael's absence for, you know, 50 years. And where he's been and what he's been doing, because it's my understanding, it's been released that this is a direct sequel. We already talked about that. But since that's the case, where has he been for 50 years? What was he doing during that huge time gap? I'm kind of excited to see how they handle that situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never really thought about that. I guess, you know, with H2, it's 20 years later, and then, you know, you've got a totally different setup with Josh Hartnett's character and the son, and I love what they did with that. Of course, I was a young person at that time, and I remember it when it came out, and it was a big deal. And, you know, that's a good question, though. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. I'm sure they're gonna do something that's gonna not even. They're probably gonna do something where you don't even think about that while you're watching it. I guess that'd be my thoughts on it.
I think they're just going to cheap out, not explain anything except for the fact, oh, he's been in a mental institution this whole time, like they've done time and time again, because it works.
Yeah, and you're probably right. I mean, I guess that's kind of what I meant to say. So I would expect to probably see something on the lines of that. But, you know, overall, like I said, it's funny because going to a lot of horror conventions and all these groups and forums and chat rooms and websites, all these news, horror news sites too. I hear people always say that, and I don't know if I necessarily agree, but sometimes I guess I do, but that Myers fans are always like the most serious, and they're absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, I'm more involved in the Friday community, as you guys know. But I do see some of the arguments and some of the bullshit, I guess you want to call it, with the Myers stuff and the arguments and the whatever. And either way, the hardcore fans are going to pick this fucker apart, plain and simple. Just like we're already seeing with, oh, Michael Myers looks too big. Get the fuck out of here. That's like a satellite picture you're looking at. Come on.
That's why I think it would be funny going back to what we were talking about, that lapse in time. I would like just for shits and gigs, I would like to see how all those hardcore Myers fans reacted if they explained away that 50 years with Michael, like, getting a job at Walmart. And
oh, yeah.
Like, they do a montage of Michael hanging up, you know, groceries, and gonna take a fucking montage from, like, South Park.
Oh, yeah. You know, that. Okay, if Michael was this, you know, young kid at the time, and all this time later, I mean... Yeah, Michael did his time and he's out of prison. Who knows what they could come up with, really?
He's going home to his apartment and eating Campbell's soup out of a can and just plotting.
Yep, just rearranging his kitchen knives and keeping them sharp, you know, just Michael sitting on the couch watching TV, sharpening his knives, you know, like carving turkeys and shit. I mean, just whatever. I mean, yeah. No, I mean, we can joke around about it, but I am not looking forward to the criticism from the hardcore Myers fans. I mean, I'm a huge Halloween fan, but I'm not a harsh critic like some that I see. Now, granted, I know I just picked apart the fucking squad cars like it was nobody's business, but that's just something that kind of irked me. But I've got tons of Halloween memorabilia hanging up in my house, tons of autographs, tons of stuff. Like I said, Halloween is in my top three horror franchises. Love it to death, but I'm not going to pick it apart. Just be fucking thankful that we're even getting another film. You know what I mean?
And you know, honestly, it doesn't matter how good they do or don't do. It's going to get torn apart by the hardcore fans. They're going to find a problem with it.
Of course. And now that when this episode, you know, after we've done this episode, come October, right after we actually get a chance to watch it, we'll revisit that. And of course, we can listen to what we had to say before and maybe get a laugh out of, you know, what we actually got to see. So obviously that's quite a ways off, but down the road, we will do a review of this film and we'll just go from there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just excited. I don't know about you. You know, Kent, I know you're not a huge fan, but you're still a horror fan. So I'm sure you're excited to some level.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'll definitely be there to see it opening day. I still respect the character. I love the character. I love the idea of Michael Myers more than I like the films, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever, but I love the character more than I do the films. But I will be there opening day to see it, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you know, Myers was, well, and this goes, I mean, outside of Nightmare on Elm Street, but I mean, with Friday the 13th, you got a different looking Jason in every goddamn film. So, but in Halloween, obviously the H1, H2 have a very similar look, obviously. But then when you start getting into, you know, 4, 5, and 6, we've got a very different Myers. But I'm, like I said, it's, I know what you mean by the character thing, because when I think of Michael Myers, I think of the original. I think of H1 or I think of H2. I've got shirts and collectibles of both, but I don't in my collection have anything from 4, 5, or 6. Now you can call me a hater. I got an autographed picture of George Wilbur from 4. But other than that, I don't think I own really anything else. But it's not that I'm a hater of the films. It's just those two were so iconic and impactful that they just cement that's Michael Myers into your head. So yeah, I certainly know what you mean about that.
No, for me, like, I am a hardcore Michael Myers fan, like a diehard Michael Myers fan. And I expect that I probably will pick things apart to a degree. The one thing that they can do in particular to keep me overall happy is do some kind of nod for Dr. Loomis. I need that for Donald Pleasance, man. He was one of my favorite characters in the originals.
I think you're probably going to get that. I've been thinking about that also, is where does Dr. Loomis stand? And I know that in the prior films, I think it was with Halloween 3D, with the Todd Farmer script. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to think back because it's been a while now. But there was always talk of Robert Englund playing Dr. Loomis, which I thought would be a fucking great idea. But obviously nothing's been said about that yet. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they post or update about this character. There's got to be something. I'm sure there's going to be something.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see what they do about Loomis. It we need to have that. We were talking a little bit ago, how about, you know, we were joking about the montage thing. They actually tried to do something similar to this. Now, a lot of people say that there was no Michael Myers in Halloween 3. This is absolutely not true. If you look closely in the movie, there's a janitor. You see him pushing a bunch of blood with a big-ass broom, and his name tag says Mike. And he's got the scar under his eye in the same place from where Jamie Lee Curtis got him with the coat hanger in the original, you know, part one. So, like, they've tried to, like, do weird little nods and things like that to show what Michael Myers might have been doing in his off time. Unfortunately, that was kind of a failed part of 3 that no one has really noticed over the years.
I've heard a couple people mention that, and you're right. But as Kent said, you know, it's not, obviously, as you guys know, the listeners even know, it's not a Myers film, and the haters are just going to hate anyway. You got to watch that film like it's not a Myers film. Just watch it objectively, and it's a good movie. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do. Like I said, you know, we talked about with the Loomis situation and filling in the holes here and there. I'm sure there's going to be nods. I'm just very curious and just excited to see what it is that they do. So I'm really looking forward to that release date. Since we don't really have a whole lot, we don't really have anything big coming out as far as that's been greenlit. So this is basically the year for Halloween, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you guys' thoughts, but 2018 is essentially the year of Halloween.
I do have a question about the title. I noticed in the pictures all the staff and production set chairs have The Shape written on them. Is that the working title while they're filming, or is that going to be the title on release date? Because everything I see on like IMDb and everything is calling it Halloween, but everything that I've seen on all the gear and everything in the pictures from behind the scenes says The Shape on it in the Halloween-esque letters. Does anybody have any idea what they're doing with that, or is that just the working title while they're filming?
I don't know exactly what the working title is. I haven't done a ton of research. I've basically just read articles as I've seen them, and I know what you're referring to, but I would just have to go with what's on IMDb or whatever is on some of the main websites, what they're referring to. Obviously, productions will have an alternate title, a working title, whatever you want to call it. But I really haven't paid a ton of attention to that. I would just, it's going to be called, I'm assuming, Halloween. Now, if it's Halloween Returns, you know, there's some artwork with Jamie Lee and it says Halloween Returns and Michael standing behind her. I'm sure you guys have seen that, but IMDb is just calling it Halloween. But I would assume they would probably alter the name a little bit and it wouldn't just be a Halloween titled movie, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, The Shape is just pretty much their placeholder right now because, you know, everyone refers to Michael as The Shape. And they've been testing a lot of different ideas for titles. I know Danny McBride has been back and forth over – he claims just like four or five that he's just bouncing back between them. He loves so much he hasn't decided yet. So he just pretty much wrote The Shape on everything just as a placeholder.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And another thing that I kind of forgot about until just now, I wanted to go over, because I just was thinking earlier, just kind of the what ifs. And as you guys are well aware, who the unmasked Michael was in H1, Tony Moran, if they were going to do an unmasked sequence in this film, I mean, who better to use than the original face? And obviously, there's been no talk of that, so we probably won't see it. But of course, Tony doesn't look the same as he did way back then, but still, I mean, it's the same face and they could alter it accordingly. But I'll just like to throw out there myself that if they're going to do an unmasked scene, I would definitely vote Tony Moran to fill in on that role.
I agree 100%. And I hope they do. Like I said, I'm just so happy that they're not, Michael isn't coming back as a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, you know. And yeah, I agree 100%. I hope that they do an unmask, and hopefully I would even be satisfied if they let Nick Castle be the face of Myers in this one. Because, you know, it's been 50 years. People's looks change drastically in 50 years, especially when you age. But yeah, I agree. I hope that they do that.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been quite that long, but yeah, I mean, 40, but you're close enough, 40, 50, whatever. But yeah, I mean, keeping it in real time, I think it would be appropriate. If they're bringing Nick Castle back, then why not bring Tony Moran back if they're going to explore that avenue? And I kind of hope that they do. If this is going to be the final one, like some people say, which I hope that it's not, because I think there's gas left in the tank. But if they're going to go that route, being a set and present time, I think that the only choice is Tony Moran, and I hope that they do that if they explore it.
The original took place in 1963, right? That's when it was supposed
to. I thought, never mind. I was talking about the release date of the film.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you said 40 years.
My bad.
It's all good, man.
Yeah, no worries there. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of what ifs there, but I think in that aspect that Tony Moran is your clear choice, especially when you're bringing back others. And I mean, even if you want to really get hypothetical with it, you know, Charles Cyphers is still alive. Just recently seen him at a convention last fall. Who's to say that, you know, he's not retired now as sheriff and they could plug him in somewhere. There's really a lot of cool things that they could do with some of the original cast members. Granted, some of them died in the film, but I mean, in reality, they could really do a couple cool cameos if they wanted to.
I hope they put Charles in just because of how jovial and amazing and friendly and upbeat that man is in reality and face to face. He deserves it.
And even with that, even if a character died in the original, they could still cameo them as another character. I mean, you know, 40 years later, obviously their appearance is totally different. You know, you could give PJ Souls a role as, you know, whatever. I think it would be really cool to pay a tribute to them with giving them alternative roles. And maybe that's something that we'll see, but that's something else I thought about too, when I seen, you know, John Carpenter, Jamie Lee, Nick Castle, it's like, I wonder who else we're going to see. So definitely curious on that. I don't know if you guys thought about that either.
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into that, man. I'm a sucker for cameos. I don't care which of the film in the franchise. You could throw some people in from three in there, and that'll make me happy as a fan just to see all those faces, man.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There wasn't a huge cast on the original back then, but still, I mean, most of them are around. So I think it would be great that if they're really trying to pin it as the final one, which I think we all know it's not going to be the final one. I mean, come on, this is a multi-million dollar franchise. If they want to put it to rest, they're just fools. But hopefully they get as many in there as they can. But maybe that's not on the card. I don't know. I'm just saying I would definitely love to see that.
It would also be really cool if they did something like when CJ Graham was talking about them redoing Friday the 13th. He was hoping that they would bring in, you know, Hodder and him and Mears and all them, and let whoever, you know, took on the machete kill all the old Jasons off. It would be cool if they did the same thing with this, where they brought in cameos from, you know, Tom Morga and George Wilbur and maybe even like Tyler Mane and so on and so forth, and let them have small little cameos and kills for and let the Mac Daddy himself, the original Nick Castle, kill off all those old Myers actors.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's an awesome idea too. Whether you have, say, George Wilbur playing a school principal or a janitor or a gas station worker. I mean, it doesn't really matter what the role is, just put him in there somewhere, because the true fans are going to know, hey, that's George Wilbur that just took their money at the gas station. You know what I mean? Or, the student, you know, you get sent to the principal's office, you know, whatever, like just any role that you can give them. You know, I just would love to see as many faces in there from any of the films. It's a shame that they couldn't have given Danielle Harris even just an extra role. Like you just see her in the background sitting in a restaurant or something, or walking by the house on Halloween night, trick or treating with her kids, but she doesn't say anything. You just see her walking by. The true fans are like, oh shit, that's Danielle Harris. They could have done that. I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do, and maybe we'll be surprised, because as you guys know, there's shit they just can't say right now. So it's just, as we know right now, I'm just still super excited.
Another thing I want to talk about is like the ad campaigns and the advertising they're doing right now. You know, other than word of mouth, they made that huge deal with the Dead by Daylight video game to release The Shape as one of the killers into the game. You know, and then shortly after that, they went ahead and announced, you know, that the movie was going to be created. I mean, they did that with that, the new Leatherface movie and the new Nightmare on Elm Street remake. So like it's really cool that a lot of these franchises are kind of going to video games right now.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. I don't play that game. I got a couple of friends that do. I haven't purchased it yet, but yeah, it's making a comeback. And of course, Friday the 13th, the game, I mean, Jesus, that's a whole nother monster, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely the video games help breathe life and keep these characters alive. And I was like awesome when I seen Michael Myers in that game. I'm like, that's going to be cool. Of course, watch some of the game trailers or whatever. I know, Kent, I know you just recently got, you got fucking Xbox. I mean, come on, get out of here. You should have got a PS, you stupid asshole, but whatever.
It's yeah, Laurie Strode too. It's not just Michael Myers that's in the game. They actually put Laurie in too.
Oh, is she in it too? Oh, okay.
It releases a pack. It was last Halloween.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I don't play it. I just knew that Myers was in it, but yeah, the games help. I mean, it is what it is with the video games, and that's something that'll continue later and will develop into, like I said, the Friday game is setting trends, you know, for what could possibly develop for who knows, a Halloween game. I don't know. I mean, I guess anything's possible, a Nightmare on Elm Street, whatever, but yeah, I mean, all good things. This is, like I said, I think it's the year of Halloween.
Yeah, I was going to say, and this might be a little bit off topic, but I really think that the success of the Friday the 13th game, I think that blew everybody's hair back. I don't think they were expecting that. And I think that, you know, it got Game of the Year from one group of, was it Game Informer? It doesn't matter. It got Game of the Year from somebody, and it was huge. It was a huge success. And I think that is going to breathe new life into a lot of the horror franchises that we love, not only in games, especially in games, but also maybe in other aspects. Because I don't think they really knew how much of a fan base that a lot of this stuff still had. And I think that that may have woke a lot of people up.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right on with that. Especially when they do win the awards and they make the sales and they look at the numbers, and I think they could easily make a Halloween game, or they could make a Leatherface game or whatever. I mean, not to mention some of the characters on Mortal Kombat. If you guys were jamming out on Mortal Kombat on PS or whatever it is that you play. But yeah, it all helps keep everything alive. And it's just awesome to see such high expectation for a 40-year-old film. But it does. It has a fan base. It's a classic for a reason. And it's awesome that people are still around and want to participate and do embrace the success that it had. Because bottom line, we all know that they didn't think the original was going to be shit in the first place, this independent film. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's a horror icon. Almost everybody, when you look, well, I shouldn't say everybody, because you guys have been to conventions and you've seen that one clown that sees a Jason cosplayer or Michael Myers and calls him one or the other. You know what I mean? But they still know. There. Yeah. They call is that Michael Myers? But I mean, still, they know who the characters are. They just might have got the names wrong. So it's still relevant no matter what.
I mean, they're international icons.
Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah. It's just awesome that they keep moving forward with them. And I think that they're always going to. I mean, why do you want to, when I kept reading about this being possibly the final Halloween, I'm thinking to myself, why? I mean, these are money makers. Who doesn't want to make money? And the fans want more, right? So why lay this to rest? I mean, with Danny being a big fan, those are the people that we want writing these scripts and directing, producing these films. That's who we want. Not, and I'm just going to throw it out there, not a Ronnie Yu and Freddy versus Jason that had never fucking seen Friday the 13th movie. Come on. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know what, I know we're not talking about Friday the 13th, but I could go on a Ronnie Yu rant for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, but you know what I'm getting at by that.
I know exactly what you're getting at, yeah.
So, yeah, you have the right people, you have fans. Like I said, I was a little leery when I heard who was originally penning the script, but not because of that I thought that he was bad for the job. I just was thinking, man, this guy's never really done anything in the horror genre, but he's a great storyteller and a great writer. And then hearing that he is a fan and John Carpenter approves and John Carpenter's on board, Jamie Lee's on board, we already know we're getting something great.
Danny McBride was also a huge influence and had a lot to do with this newest Alien film, because he's also a huge Alien fan.
Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Honestly, I try and forget about that.
The Alien film?
Yeah, I try and forget about that one.
You know, honestly, I have to admit, I haven't even seen it yet. It's on the to-do list. There's a bunch of films, and I just, you know, I got to get on it and get to watching it, so I can't really comment on that, and I forgot that he was involved. But yes, now that I think about it, Kent, you are correct. So he has dabbled a little bit, but still, big picture, he's not really known for that, but if you do the backstory, like you had mentioned earlier, listening to another podcast and learning some things. But if John Carpenter approves, then fuck it. If he approves, I don't care who it is. If he says you're good to go, then that works for me.
That's the nail that's driving all this home, though. That's their golden weapon, is John Carpenter. He's not going to let it get out of control.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, you know, I think that's a good chop up session of kind of what we know so far. Obviously, check out the horror websites for upcoming news and updates, more cast information. I'm sure we're going to get hit with who knows what information, alumni appearances or cameos, just whatever. So Google Halloween 2018 if you want to stay up or follow any of the horror websites. Like today on social media, I couldn't get away from it, which is not a bad thing. I loved looking at the behind the scenes photos, which we're just going to keep seeing more. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm excited for it. But that wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever you listen to the show at, and be on the lookout, like I said, for more news about this highly anticipated film set for release this fall. This episode was brought to you by Halloween. Until next time.
evil lurks in the mind of a madman.
This is the end, friend.
Your suffering will be legendary, even in hell. From the prime time, bitch.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman.
Eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is better.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some things have a strange idea entertainment.